Yeah, welcome to the catch-up. You were treading a very fine line today, Marto.
Mate, you can put that whistle and the yellow card away because I did it early and I did it late. I didn't do it when kids were in cars, as they say.
Absolutely, and that's why you stayed on the field. So, okay. I mean, you know, you're playing the rules real
the phrase,
well.
The phrase was...
Boy George.
And the giant dildo.
Get off.
Oh, no, it's all
get
right
off,
now.
Mate. They baited you.
Is that a setup?
I knew what they were doing.
Okay.
Oh, yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
there was details of Boy George's. It was our reporting of the Guardian's reporting of the crime or whatever it was, the incident that made Boy George have to do some community service and a bit of jail time, which they haven't brought up in these so-called tell-all interviews. It's quite. You know, they're not tell-all, Robin. They're tell us what we want you to tell us.
Yeah, pretty interviews. Much. Rich Angel Mal came in.
He
chat.
Was fun too. Yeah, that was good. And then a bit of hard rubbish. That was a good chat. What have you picked up from hard rubbish?
Oh,
so
yeah.
Enjoy yourselves, catch-uppers.
This Marto, Ed and Robin catch-up for Morgan and Wacker Harley Davidson. Grab a new Harley from Morgan and Wacker Harley Davidson and they'll give you up to $3,000 to customise it. 104.5, the new Triple M.
What a treat. Every week he makes time for us. The most powerful man in the country, Rich Uncle Mal, the PM, live from Canberra. Good morning to you, Rich Uncle Mal.
Good morning to you, Ed, Robin and Marto. It's an exciting day here in Canberra. It's Budget Day 2017 and ScoMo, Captain Flatulence, gets to stride across the national stage.
Hey, we're Budget Night. Can you give us a sneak preview? We all want to know what's in it.
Well, it's all about innovation hubs, disruption tents, metamorphosis cubbies and upheaval blankets. I don't know what I'm talking about. No, there are some terrific measures in place for pensioners. We're going to give them a bonus to help them pay their power bills. We're also going to give them a cap on aging. We're going to set the cap at 88 and index it down each year. But essentially, you get to 88 and you go off to the farm with the incontinent Labrador. There's Matt and Pop. They live on the farm now with Sandy. And we go and visit them. No, it's a long way away. So, yeah, the cap on aging. It'll eventually happen to the unemployed too. Off you go. Some people off, basically, left, right and centre.
Have you seen Labor's 457 advertisement?
Rob and I enjoyed it thoroughly last night. I replayed it about 40 times. The new 457 ad is whiter than Warnie's teeth. It's terrific. It's not the only Australians that want to work, according to Tit Shorten and the Labor Party, are white people. So there's definitely no one in that advertisement on a 457 visa. But it would have made better television if Tit tackled an interloper, just brought a Fijian woman to the ground and said, not on my watch, we'll pick our own fruit.
And listen, just talking about opposition, Mark Latham, what is he up to?
Oh, well, Mark's joined David Lainhelm and the Liberal Democrats. He really is the gift that doesn't stop giving. He's like their Tony Abbott, isn't he? Yeah. But he's just a little bit more radio rental. teaming up with David Lainhelm. Listen, Mark, if Sky News think your politics are a bit dodgy, then it really is time for a lie down and a couple of painkillers. Maybe it's time to take him to the farm.
an interesting idea. Hey, Rich Uncle Mal, we know it's a big day for you. You got plenty on, but is there a song stuck in your head today?
Well, I love Birds of Tokyo, Ed, do you? And, that song going over and over in my head, especially when I'm in Canberra. You know I'd go with you anywhere, just get me out of here. You know I'd go with you anywhere, you gotta get me out of here.
All right, Dave, Rich Uncle Mal, the PM, good luck on Budget Night, mate.
And before I go, I'd just like to say the Triple M rocks the story bridge. Good on you guys.
The whole bridge.
Thank you, sir.
I know.
Thank you. The story of the Australian woman, Cassie, who's been over in Colombia. Charged? I don't even know if she's charged yet. It's so murky, this situation.
Call her Cocaine Cassie.
I've been desperate to call her Cocaine Cassie. I don't know if I'm allowed to. But someone who's been on the ground in Colombia, Seb Costello.
Cocaine Costello, you mean?
Cocaine Costello. Was she charged? What is going on, Seb?
Oh, look, guys, it's a fascinating situation. The whole country's playing that game of did she know the drugs were there? Did she not know? What's going on? Look, the charges have been laid. So she's done sort of the equivalent of a bail hearing in Colombia, what we'd call a bail hearing back home in Australia. And she pleaded not guilty in that situation. So She's now in that Bond Pastor prison. And the latest, guys, is that she was having some issues both with the guards and also with her fellow inmate. Oh. And she needed a little bit of protection, particularly because she didn't speak Spanish and everybody speaks Spanish around the prison. So it was actually a Slovenian cellmate of hers who has taken Cassie under her wing. And she's sort of protecting her at the moment from various threats around the place.
It's Orange is the New Black in there sort of scenario.
How did you get close enough to find that out?
Marto, that's a very good question, and that's why you're a top-rating breakfast radio host. look, you kind of do what you can as a journo and speak to various different people. There's obviously visitors going to and from the jails every day to see various prisoners, and Cassie is just one of around 2,000 inside the Bond Pastor prison. She's now being a lot more cooperative with guards after a bit of standoffishness early in last week. Jeez. She refused to leave her cell to come to roll call. And for that, she's being rewarded with cigarettes. We're told that she's smoking a lot in jail.
Isn't she a personal trainer?
Jeez, the word. Seb, the other thing is that this story, people in Colombia don't care, do they? That's what I keep hearing, that we're going crazy for it. But in Colombia, they're like, what's the big deal?
Oh, absolutely. It's a strange sort of comparison there between back home. There's a great thirst for what's going on with Cassie Sainsbury. But in Colombia, it's just another foreigner who's been busted with drugs. And this happens quite regularly. A number of different nationalities. So I spoke to one girl who was from the Dominican Republic. We did a story on her the other night on Nine News. She'd been groomed by a Colombian to help him recruit young women to be mules. And then eventually she'd been promised $10,000 to do one run herself. So she strapped the cocaine to her body, tried to walk through Bogota Airport, and that's when they stopped her.
So, Seb, is Cassie guilty?
Oh, well, look, Robin, that's a question for the judges of Colombia.
What do you personally think? You have been on the ground, and most Australians have an opinion one way or another.
Yeah, they certainly do. Look, I mean, I guess if somebody was to put drugs in your bag, they have to have a way of picking it up at the other end so they can make their profit. So, if you knew nothing about it, why would a drug dealer choose a random person to get their drugs through customs? That's a question I keep asking.
Okay.
Yeah, that is a question that we heard one of the police ask the other day as well. Hey, Seb Costello, Channel 9 reporter who's been over in Colombia. Look, I know this joke's been made, but is it time for Tara Brown to break her out?
Oh, now that's my team, Ed. That's my team.
Come on, Seb.
Get off Tara.
It's a good question.
She is one of the finer. No, I'm not going to have that sort of slander. No, Tara is good. She'll be back.
I know you know. All right. See you, Seb. Thanks, buddy.
Bye.
Thanks, guys. Talk again. Bye.
That's Seb Costello from Channel 9 News. What do you reckon? Come on. It's time for you to give your opinion. It's in Colombia, so I think our lawyers told us we're allowed to ask.
Yeah, we're allowed to. We've checked.
Do you think Cassie is guilty?
Overweight smoking personal trainer. She needs the money.
Right. Yeah, okay. She's overweight. Well, now it's. So do you think that she's guilty? Do you think that she's an innocent pawn in a game much larger than she understands? Or do you think she's seen a chance to make some money? What do you think of this Cassie girl over in Colombia? Guilty, not guilty?
Yeah.
JT is from Boonvale. From what you've seen, JT, what do you reckon?
Oh, my belief is that she'd be guilty. For the fact that when they show the photos of the packages, the supposed headphones, if you look close enough, all the packages are different sizes. I mean...
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Great call. Okay, good eyes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, right. I see what you're saying. They're not all just like a box.
They're all different shapes and sizes. And you'd think if you were buying 15 sets of headphones, wouldn't they all be uniform?
How many would you open up anyway, JT? Two of them? Just to make sure they worked?
You'd have to, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Let me throw this at you, though, JT. What about the old switcheroo, which was happening at even like fishmongers and stuff locally?
What do you mean?
Where they show you the product, no worries. But when they hand it back to you fully wrapped, it's not the thing. You know what I mean, JT? The old switcheroo.
Yeah, but if it was me and I was handing over money to buy products, especially in an overseas country, I'd be wanting to see some wrapping and stuff like that. Yeah. You know what I mean? They tell everybody, you go to Bali, everyone knows now, you don't do that stuff in Bali, you'll get in trouble.
Yeah.
Shouldn't it be the same when we all go overseas? Or you just don't be silly people.
Thank you, JT. Thank you, mate. Appreciate that.
Guilty from JT. Brad. Now,
Brad.
Yep.
What do you reckon?
Mate, I think she's guilty for the simple fact is that
someone's bought her a ticket from Hong Kong, like an airline ticket. Like, come on, like, don't you normally buy your own? Or
it was in cash as well. Wasn't Seb Costello from Channel 9 told us that that was bought in cash as well?
Yeah, see, something's going on. Like, there's no name to it. It's been bought in another country for her. Flying there, it sounds a bit suspicious to me. I think she's guilty.
Hey, Brad, have you ever known anyone who's gotten in some trouble overseas with the law?
No, I haven't, mate, no.
No, neither have I, but that's why the other one that's coming up at the moment is the government applying for the government to help pay for legal fees, which did happen
with
for
the
other
Bali
people.
Nine.
That have, yeah.
It's happened with them. It also
that's
happened
the
with
one.
And then
Chappelle.
You know you're not supposed to profit from crime. Mm. Channel 9 might pay her a bit of money for a 60-minute type story.
Not
does
her.
She get to keep that?
Don't,
oh.
don't think you can pay her. I think the family might be a different story, but
righto.
I don't think you're allowed to pay her.
Righto.
Okay.
Jason from Robina.
Hey, Marto. Hey, Ed. Yeah. Hey, Roman. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thank you. Guilty or not guilty? What do you reckon about Cassie?
Oh, I'd have to think guilty. I'm with that first caller. I would have raised eyebrows when I saw the packaging of 12 little black packages wrapped in plastic. And
all right. What about this, Jase? What if it comes out that she didn't see the packages as they think? She bought one package, but they put a different package in her bag. What if that was what came out? What would you think then?
Oh, I'm like the first call. I would have expected it to be in a box, like with Sony
right.
written on it
yes.
or something
okay,
like that.
Okay, you're right. Yes, okay. It was odd packaging for headphones. I don't think I've seen LeBron James take his Beats out of those, like a box like that, a black plastic bag before
a game. Has anyone ever heard of Columbia being one of the headphone leaders in the world? Like, why are you buying your headphones there?
Well, maybe electrical goods.
I once bought a Super Nintendo game in Thailand. And that worked out, right? Yeah, it was really good.
I mean, maybe we should be asking, does anyone think she's not guilty?
Well, we haven't gotten one.
No,
we
haven't.
Let's try that. We should try that.
133353, if you think she's not guilty, I'd love to know why you think so. Josh of Logan, what do you reckon?
I think she's guilty. I think, as the reporter said, it's a poor business decision if the dealers can't get their product back at the other end.
And then I saw another report on the weekend. They rely on 4 out of 5 of their business dealings to get intercepted these days. They still make enough money out of one getting through.
Drug dealing is like grubber kicks.
Yes, one out of 5. 20% get off. You're a winner.
You're all good.
I can't believe this. On 133353, 100% of people reckon she's guilty.
There must be people with it. Like, I might be coming around to the old switcheroo theory. There must be somebody who thinks she's been duped into this. There must be somebody.
Well, if you do think that, then 133353 is the number.
Anybody?
They're the poll results. Poll results don't lie.
Okay, so something's happening in my world that I think I need a bit of advice on, but may in fact open out to other examples. So at the moment in the western suburbs, curbside cleanups
are happening. Hard rubbish.
And it's all being put out, and I think it's being picked up on like the 13th or 14th of May. So we've got another weekend, so it'll really increase over the next few days.
But what you find, have you already got your rubbish out now?
No. I've got it in the carport.
The earlier you get it out, the earlier the scabs will all get it and you'll have nothing left, which is great.
Not the scabs.
They come along in their trailers and their trucks and their utes and everything else, and they grab all your stuff.
Well, my children were those said scabs across the weekend. I was in Sydney and they were at home with a wonderful friend of mine called Zelma, and they were driving back from soccer and my eldest son noticed a bar fridge on the side of the road. Okay. Now, he's 17. He likes to think that he's a mover and shaker and is, you know, as he hurtles toward his 18th birthday. So he wanted to have a bar fridge in his room.
Don't they all?
Yeah. So the said bar fridge was picked up and plugged in, and miraculously it worked. And I think that was actually quite clever of him. Except within 24 hours.
That's the risk you take. You know that.
Well, here's my point.
You bring it home, it
doesn't
work.
Well, yeah. And it did work. But it turns out it's a freezer, not a fridge. And the things that he kept in the fridge said freezer exploded overnight.
Softies.
Yeah, pretty much. And then last night into this morning when I went to say, you know, just check on him like I do every morning, I check on all my boys, I could hear this thing whizzing and buzzing. And I'm thinking, have I just put an explosive device into my son's room?
That's why they would have got rid of it, whoever was getting rid of it, because it's a lemon.
Yes, but it's a working fridge, and when you're 17, that's pretty damn cool.
Yeah, it's huge.
Don't you reckon?
You know, there's a lot of gases come out, inert gases come out of the back.
So do you think I should just stick it back outside?
Well, what's a freezer? Is it like, why does he need a freezer?
No, but, you know, I quite like the fact that he's kind of gone, man, I can get that for free and that's going to add to my life. But I do worry that as his mother, I just...
You pick up any of this stuff from those hard rubbish, it's out there for a reason because it's usually rubbish.
Yeah, except, though, that we are now in a consumer society and things are made to break within 3 or 4 years and people may upgrade because that's what we do.
Yeah, righto.
So rather than try and sell it on eBay for $50, which is just going to be a pain in the butt and you'd have to be home for a weekend, you put it out on the curbside cleanup, and that's what he's assumed has happened.
Away. Well, don't pick up fans.
What? Don't pick up fans?
You know how many of those fans, $40 fans, they're all rubbish. They're broken. That's why they're out there. I don't think you can fix things.
Okay, so have you picked up something from hard rubbish, and how did it go for you?
That's the question. I want to hear one person who's picked up something useful, because those blokes wander around. All they're looking for is copper most of the time. Is there other good stuff around? Because I remember working in Ascot, doing Renaults and Ascots, when they had their hard rubbish, they throw out real good stuff.
Yeah, and if there's a deceased estate house that sells around that time, it's always good.
You can time it right, can't you?
Yeah, Simo of North Lakes. What do you reckon?
Good morning. How you doing, guys?
Yeah, mate. Have you picked stuff up?
I drive around all day for a living, quoting fences and stuff. So I see hard rubbish everywhere, all the time. I collect all kinds of things. The best one, which is most common, is probably filing cabinets. They're brilliant for storing all your tools and stuff in your shed.
That's clever. Simo, that's smart.
But the number one thing I got was an antique rocking horse. The head was broken off, but being a chippy, you know, a few dowels, a bit of carbog and a bit of a paint, and I sold the thing for $1,500.
Oh, so no. You know who collects rocking horses, don't you?
No.
Me.
Oh, well, it's my bad.
You collect them for investment purposes?
No, I collect them because I love them.
Did you hear what he just said?
Yeah, I know. I know, mate. They hold their value, particularly the older ones. Yeah, you bet. And if you get a carousel horse, oh my God, they can go for tens of thousands.
Yeah, next time you find one, Simo, call us first, please.
Seriously.
Buddy.
Hey, Mark from Cleveland, have you found anything?
Yeah, I go on the side of the road when I'm looking for stuff for the shed, you know. I found a stereo one time. I just wanted a radio in there. I opened up the tape deck and I found $200 stuffed inside. So I get paid to recycle.
Hello.
Stop it.
Oh, that was their hidey hole. And they would have been marijuana smokers and forgot where they put it. Is that your thinking?
I guess you're telling the story. I wouldn't have a clue. But that's where I found $200. And I thought, well, that brought dinner and lunch the next day. So I was quite happy.
Yeah, there you go. See? That's awesome.
The radio worked, though?
Yep.
Yeah.
Who cares? It got $200 out of it. So. Nick of Narangba, what'd you find in hard rubbish?
Hey, look, when we were living in this house that burnt down and we had no one at all to help us out with anything, we moved into this place with three kids, little kids, with a esky and a mattress. And then next day I was driving to work and I was seeing all this stuff out on the side of the road. I grabbed the boss's ute. And over the weekend, we furnished the whole house, including beds for the kids, lounges, a TV and DVD player, everything, toys for the kids, the whole lot. So it was a blessing, mate, to be honest.
Oh, that's the best.
Yeah.
Were you worried about the mattresses? Did you give all the mattresses a bit of a sniff?
I didn't use any mattresses, mate. I ended up buying them out of the next week's pay. But, yeah, that's one thing I won't use. But everything else, beds, everything, mate, you know. It was
great. I mean, I'm sad that happened to you, Nick, but that's a really smart piece of ingenuity from you, Nick. That's clever, mate.
Well, yeah, it was good. It was good. No worries. Thanks very much.
See you, Nick. Hey, Ed, does a futon count as a mattress in your world?
Oh, good. So I had a...
Yes. What happened?
So I was living in a share house once, right?
Yeah.
And one of the guys in a mate move-in, just out of nowhere, just this bloke arrived. I was like, who's this? He's going to live with us now. I said, all right, if he's going to pay $50 a week, he can live here, right? But he's got to get his own bed. So he wandered in, him and his another guy, stuffed. They asked if they could borrow my car, which at the time was a little tiny little Mazda thing, right? I drive a Toyota now. And they'd stuffed this futon into the back of it. And it was a futon. They get it in the house, right? And we're like, all right. He sets it up in his mate's room. They're all fine. And then the next day I just hit, oh, no. Oh, no. Huh. Right? I go in there and they'd The way it was set up on the street, it was lying on the futon. Now the mattress was lying on the little little stand that it's on.
Yeah.
But they'd gone, maybe we should flip it over, and they'd flipped it over.
Oh, what?
And Marto, you know those Jackson Pollock paintings?
Yeah.
It was like a Jackson Pollock of bodily fluids on the other side.
Yes.
So you just turn it over again and carry on.
Flip it back up.
I may regret bringing this up, but if you got stuck after The Voice and didn't remember to turn over to Have You Been Paying Attention, you would have seen Boy George being interviewed by Piers Morgan.
Now, oh, my God, this is what we've been waiting for. Ed, what's your, don't you got a mate working on The Voice?
Yes, I have a mate working on The Voice, and the only text message that they have never replied to was when I sent one saying, hey, I've just been on the Daily Mail looking up why Boy George got 15 months for falsely imprisoning male escort story.
So was that on the
headline? That's the headline in that's actually the headline in The Guardian.
Yeah.
And I didn't get a response, and I thought, oh, well, I must have been mistaken.
They're busy.
But Robin,
obviously,
I wasn't Robin.
Did they go through that incident?
Well, it was an expose on Boy George. Interestingly enough, not done by the 60 Minutes team like they did with Kelly Rowland just a few weeks ago. This was the interview that was taken from the UK that I think was done a little while ago.
Was it all fluff and sugar, or did they address the jail term?
It was coming. They were teasing that they were going to actually talk about it. And then finally...
Nothing's off limits.
Nothing. And they kept saying all that. Finally, Piers Morgan addressed it in a very... unusual way. Have a listen.
You've never really talked about what happened that led to you going to prison. What do you want to say about it now?
It's a really difficult one, Piers, because when I was in court, I chose not to give evidence. I chose to just accept what was happening. And for me, you know, I felt that was the dignified thing to do. When I went to trial, I was a year clean, so I was already sober. So that person I was in court and the person that had been arrested, they were two different people. Mm. Plus... I just didn't want my mum to have to hear all this stuff in court. I just thought she's been through enough. I mean, I've banned
her from coming to the trial. We can fade this down. We can come back up to it in another minute or so. And you actually never learn what happened.
So that's the Kevin Proctor, Jesse Bromwich. I was so drunk I don't even remember doing it.
Yeah.
That's their defense. It was a different person.
Different person.
Now, Damato, you've got this story in front of you. What...
don't try to get me into trouble because this is, it's misadventure. Hold on, where do I go to?
Okay, look, theguardian.com, let's quote it as it was written from the English paper, says, Boy George was today sentenced to 15 months in jail for falsely imprisoning a male escort by handcuffing him to a wall and beating him with a metal chain. There it is. Ooh. Now, if you watched last night, you would not have heard those words revealed.
I didn't hear any of that.
There's a whole lot of things here.
What, yes.
What do you mean?
Well, when George O'Dowd, now this is again, this is the Guardian newspaper reporting from that day in January in 2007, said that when George O'Dowd, which is Boy George, when he came back, he got the box of leather straps, chains and sex toys and said to Carlson, now you're going to get it. I don't know what this means.
Goodness. It was all about this. The Guardian reports that it was about some images that they had, that there was a meeting where some nude photos had been taken, which was great.
Yeah,
but it's the second. It's just
and then the chair turned.
Yes. So what is it that's affecting your sensibilities here? Is it the fact that he's on The Voice and no one's talking about that now?
You know what it is, Robin? It's that we spend our life. If you watch The Voice like I do, and this is the best bit, spinny chairs. We spend our whole time is all about their backstory, and they set these people up.
And Seal.
How wonderful they are.
Delta.
And they're quite literally on a pedestal. Mm-hmm. And they tell people, you know, you think the problem with you is you don't have enough experience. Or your backstory wasn't good enough. Or you don't have enough blonde hair, whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, and then we're going to have a tell-all. And it just annoys me, Robin, when people, you are someone who is more honest on radio, and Marto is the same, than pretty much anybody I know.
Right.
Are you not?
Yeah,
does
I
it
hope
not
to
annoy
be.
You when people go on and go, I'm going to do a tell-all interview. Tell us about that day. Well, I didn't want me mum because I wasn't that person anymore. No, less about that. Tell us more about the handcuffs and the dildos. Oh, what?
Yes,
it's not 7 o'clock yet.
Come on.
Have you just joined us? We've been going since 5:30. Do you guys remember? Here's your quiz question for the first half hour of the show. Who was the first caller today?
Paul?
Was it Paul?
A gentleman called Paul?
Oh, now you got me confused. No, I think it was Jason.
Yeah,
oh,
it was Jason.
It was Jason.
All right, and he said he was a curber, and you said, what's a curber? He was a concreter. And I just want, can I replay some of him? So he rang for the quiz, and we asked him a couple of questions about himself.
I'm a concreter. I'm a curby.
How much do you get?
Not enough, $30 an hour.
Oh, you get 30. We're doing something this morning about some pay rates, so it's interesting.
Yeah, but we do hard work long hours.
Yeah, obviously, it's like...
Hold on, most concreters are knocked it on the head by one or two. What about you?
Exactly. We go until the job's done.
So he builds curbing and channeling, new stuff, replacing old stuff, I guess. So hello, Jace. $30 an hour.
$30 an hour.
All right, I want to have this discussion because I've had it in my house over the weekend. I've got a son who's a 17-year-old son who's a landscaper, just working, labouring, painting, making, building fences, digging holes, planting trees, doing all that sort of stuff on all these high rises and also at new houses and stuff. $25 an hour.
Ooh.
I had a wife who goes into a supermarket. She does all the merchandising, changes stands and stuff like that, redesigns supermarkets. $25 an hour.
Ooh.
I've got a daughter who works in a bar. She works in a pub in Sydney, casual, only three nights a week, $25 an hour.
She gets 25.
Yep.
Wow.
She works until 3:30.
Oh, that would be why you'd get all the loadings.
She'd do all the pokies and stuff like that. And Paul there, and Jason there, making 30 an hour.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like enough. Well, actually, we've also got an apprentice living at home, an apprentice electrician. He's on like 13, 12, 50 or 13
well,
an hour.
Well, this is also because we've been talking about the budget off air. We've been talking about what do we all know that... What's the main thing about the budget? Everyone just wants to know, Robin, what's in it for me?
Yeah, of course.
We've heard a lot about penalty rates. We've heard a lot about are they going to change award structures for different jobs? So, Marty, you bring up an excellent point. Those are three very different things that all get $25
an hour. Get the same amount of money. It's quite incredible.
Because McDonald's, just Googling, which I would presume is the minimum wage, if you're a team trainer, you get $17.29 an hour.
That's up.
Yeah, I remember when I started on minimum wage, it was like $9.
Same here. I don't remember.
But that's one of the bosses. Is that or not?
No. I think that's just... And then if you're a barista, you get an extra $2.50 or 70 cents. You get $19.97.
A McDonald's barista.
And McDonald's
barista. What
about
if I'm a McFlurry specialist?
Oh, my God.
Sadly, no.
Name your price.
But if you're a team leader in the kitchen...
Drop me an invoice, I'll pay it.
$20 an hour.
Team leader's 20.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hold on, can we talk about what are you doing for $25 an hour? It appears, well, I'm just talking about my household, it appears that's the average hourly rate. And I'm going, that's not a lot.
If you're out there with hourly rates, tell us, what are the hourly rates in your
All right, I paid my mate to work for 3 days last week as a chippy, charged me $45.
Ooh.
I thought it might be more.
Oh, did you?
Did you know that crane operators, they get about $54.60 an hour, and a GP... $55.10. So a GP gets 50 cents more an hour than a crane operator. I just looked that up.
That's very cool.
Does that seem funny? The relative hourly rates of things is wild.
Jason. Jason from Augustine Heights. What is the job and what is the rate?
I work for Queensland Health in one of their facilities maintaining machinery and trolleys and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I'm on just over $26 an hour.
Okay. And, Jace, do you think that's comparative to what you know other people do around the place? Do you think that that's fair or do you think it's slightly low?
I think it's slightly low. Like, there's three facilities exactly the same as what I work in. People in the same position in other sites don't do as much work as I do but get the same rate of pay.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? It's always what are other folks doing of a similar job.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jace. Appreciate that.
So that's fixing machines. What about Rob from Upper Coomera? You're a truck driver. What are you getting?
Getting just under $20 an hour.
Is that what most truckies are on?
It just depends on what place you're at. Some people are on a flat rate. Others are on hourly. When you go on hourly, you go on less. I mean, when I get staggered at the end of the day from 8 hours onwards, I get time and a half for the next 2 hours after that.
Yeah.
And then double time for any hours after that. So if I work 12 hours, which is average, that's my average day, 12 hours a day.
Oh, Jesus. Rob.
Yeah. So I work over 6 days, I work about 70 hours, roughly.
Whoa.
How long have you been doing it, Rob?
This is my second year. Third year.
Okay.
You're not interstate. Are you on B doubles around Brizzy, are you?
No. Just HRHC.
Yeah, righto.
Do you get more if your trucks get bigger?
Yeah.
Oh, you do?
Slightly.
Oh, okay. Well, they seem more
dangerous. It just takes a lot more skill.
Yeah, I bet.
Oh, yeah.
When you look at the different tonnage, you know, you got 22-ton, 22.5-ton for a rigid, and then you got, you know, up to 40-ton for a semi.
So 20 to 30, between 20 and 30 hours seems to be the average for everything, for nearly every, most of the things
bucks
we're talking
mean,
about.
20 to 30 bucks, you mean, you said hours.
Oh, sorry, $20 to $30 per
hour. Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. School teacher, $32 if you're an Australian school teacher, a high school teacher.
A high school teacher, $32 mm-hmm. an hour.
Mm-hmm. Right. Starting to see why a lot of that FIFO work became so popular, aren't we?
Yeah, aren't
well,
we?
Some of them are on 150 grand a year.
Yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm.
That's got a, what is that worth? Oh, God.
Yeah, a lot. Leah from Acacia
Hello.
Ridge.
Hello. Hi. Hello, how are you?
Yeah, what do you do? What are you on?
I am an early childhood educator.
Oh, good
I have
you.
30 years experience and I am only getting $25 an hour.
You guys are so badly paid.
We are very badly paid.
I've got
and
a
coming into the industry, you're on $18 an hour.
How do you feel about I've got a son who's 5 months ago was at school, he's on $25 an hour, working as a landscaper.
Each job is different. Each job has their own stresses and their own differences.
Yep.
But
hey,
it's really irritating for me when Scott Morrison hands down $15 million to our athletes. Where's that money? Where should that money go to? It should go to funding wages, better hospitals, better schools.
You happy with the Townsville Stadium getting $120 million or whatever they get?
No, it's frustrating. You know, we are people are struggling on our low wages. Let's have the government boost some wages up.
God, yeah.
It's a good point today because that is front page that there's a stack of money going to try and beat England in the Commonwealth Games.
Oh, I didn't look at front page, is that right?
Does anyone really care if we beat
If we beat England at the Commonwealth Games, who gives a stuff?
I would care much more that my early childhood teachers are actually teaching them the alphabet.
I care much more that our nurses get really well paid and are keen to go to work. Yeah. Well, who else have we got? Paul from Jimboomba, what are you doing, mate?
I'm a waterproofer, mate.
Oh, yeah, which is important. How much an hour do you charge per hour?
Recently, $20 an hour.
And is that a ward or is that just like, you know, this is just what the job pays?
That's just above a ward.
Okay, just above a ward. And do you get overtime and extra time and all that sort of stuff?
No, it's a flat rate. So you could work up to 50 to 60 hours a week and get paid $20 an hour for it.
How long did it take you to train?
Just under 4 years. It was like an apprenticeship that I went through to get my Cert 3 behind it. So
there's a lot of expertise in waterproofing because if you make a mistake, everything that comes after you is stuffed.
Well, you seen what we done, Marto, when you came over and got me off.
Oh, yeah, I met you over at Bulimba there. Yeah, right. Oh, yeah. I know which one you are, Paul. Sorry, mate. Well, you're married with children, mate. I bet your wife has to work.
Yeah, she
is a
chef. She's a chef, and she works in a hotel, and she's on, as a fully qualified chef, I think she's on around $23.50 an hour, and she's busting out, 40 to 50 hours a week herself, so.
Wow. No wonder George Galambaras' people are getting upset.
Oh, God, yeah. If you don't get your extra little bits and pieces. Well, there's a good snapshot. Especially for the people in my home who are making $25 an hour. Be happy.
Yes, indeed. Marto, Ed and Robin, the new Triple M.
Hey, you know the historic pub tour on the weekend, wonderful thing. Actually, that's on, is it on Facebook?
Yeah, Facebook, Triple M Brisbane, triplem.com.au as well.
Spectacular action. Check it out. One of the blokes who went on it, his name's Tony, okay? He sent me a note. He knew my number. We'd met each other at the Bridge to Brisbane. Yeah. We sometimes talk footy. Anyway, so he texted me and said, oh, thanks very much for the day, la, la, la. And he took over from the regatta about 7 o'clock and said goodbye to him. And I said, oh, I hope you got home safely. He then sent me another text, which was one of the more amazing texts I've read. So I've got him on the line now. Tony, can you meet Ed and Robin?
Morning, Ed, Rob. How are you?
Hey, good.
Can you describe to everyone what happened after you left the regatta after our wonderful historic pub tour on Saturday night?
Well, I had about 8 beers, so I was a little bit concerned, obviously, that when I had to go to Cleveland on the train, and I left my unit at Cleveland, so I was concerned how I was going to get home from there, because transport across that way is diabolical.
Yeah, you got to get to Redland Bay from Cleveland.
Yeah,
yep.
That's right, yeah. And trying to get a cab that time of night is terrible. So when I got to Cleveland, I felt pretty good, but I thought I'm going to be sure, because I've driven 41 years clean as a whistle, you know, so I'm going to keep it clean. So I walked up to the Cleveland police station and asked them if I could blow in the bag. And they duly obliged. So I ended up blowing 0.17, and then he said, you're good to go.
So you volunteered to go and, you know, use
their... But you hadn't been in the car at that stage, had you?
No. I left the ute there. I walked up there to make sure it was clean. And then I said, good, I'll go back and jump in the ute and I'll go home. So, yeah, I was good to go home. So,
is that a service the coppers always provide?
I'm not sure whether it's a regular thing that they do. It might have been my charm that got me through. But the lady there did say, look, if you was a teenager, we'd tell you to bugger off and get a cab home.
Without letting you blow or...?
That was before.
They got to be zero.
Yeah, that was before.
I'll put an idea. I think that's brilliant, Tony. I don't know if any cops want to tell us if that's a regular thing. But if you had a machine outside every police station or somewhere, if you put your car keys in and then they give you a proper thing to blow into, if you go 05, your keys come out the bottom. If you don't, they hang onto your keys.
Yeah, unless, of course, you grab somebody else's keys by mistake. That could be a problem,
especially.
I'm super impressed that the police would be happy for you to just come in. I mean, did you...
It might just be the Cleveland cops.
Yeah, were they just being really nice?
They were nice, yeah, but, I mean, I had a bit of a dicky foot too, so I played along with that a little bit. I didn't want to be walking a long way to
Dicky foot. dicky foot trick.
I didn't fall off the bucking bronco, if that's what you're asking.
No, that was Dobbo's gig.
If you're on the cusp and wondering, because a lot of those things, you know, they used to have them in pubs on the walls. They were dodgy as all hell, and they resulted in people. I think they had to remove them because people were going DD after going, oh, no, I blew in the thing at the pub I was under.
Yeah.
Oh, mate, great story. Thanks, Tate.
No worries, mate. Thanks. Have a good day.
Really good tip, brother.
What am I asking Ed for? He doesn't even drink. No. Would you do it, Marty?
Oh, God, yeah. Go and ask the cops. They're so friendly when you're half full. Well, I think they are.
Yeah. Don't say that when you walk in. I'm half full.
Yeah.
The return of the dual Logie Award winning Have You Been Paying Attention last night on Channel 10?
Very good day in my family's house. Everyone around me are completely addicted to this show. In fact, it's like the Melrose Place of the noughties, that people are making appointments for television. Yeah, absolutely. My kids do, my boyfriend does, and also the wonderful lady that looks after my children in the morning, Zelma, disappears at night because she has to make sure she is sitting on her couch in preparation for Have You Been Paying Attention?
I think that's why they called off Monday Night Football in the NRL. Yeah. They're finding the competition was too hot.
Too stiff.
Yeah.
But
now we're back, first episode back last night. It was good. It was good fun with myself and Sam and Celia Piccola, Jane Kennedy, and young Marty Sheargold.
Yeah,
fun.
But there were some things, Ed Cavalier, that I want to take you to task on because, you know, I've been working with you for nearly 3 months. I thought I understood stuff about you.
Yes.
And one of the things that I thought I understood is that you are the guy that is still holding the mantle for Australian cricket.
I love cricket.
You love cricket. You are the only guy that still does love cricket and you watch it ad nauseum. Oh. Am I correct?
Well, I think the last two remaining are me and Nathan Bracken.
Okay. Mm. Well, then how can you possibly hold your head up high this morning when you got this question wrong last night? You were not the first person to answer it. In fact, you didn't even have an answer.
Australian captain Steve Smith was injured after hitting his head on what? Sam?
It was a teammate and then a billboard, Tom.
The billboard is what I was looking for. Take a look.
Where were you, Ed Cavalier?
Look.
That was pretty quick, though.
Sam did get in there, and sometimes when Sam gets it, if it looks like he's going to get it right, I back off, because it happens so rarely that I feel... Do you know what I mean? It's like candy from a baby.
He's your multicultural token on the show, and you need to let him have a few little wins.
He's a diversity choice, and you've got to sometimes just, you know, just pump him up a bit.
Yeah.
I am so glad you gave that as your answer, because then the one question that you got right is, I guess, a bit of a multicultural question.
Give it to me.
Because it was with guest host Tina Arena, who lives in France.
Mate,
do you know the answer to this?
I'm soon to release a new fragrance. What will it be called?
Oh,
Ed. I thought it was Renaissance.
I think you're right.
How does Ed Cavalier know the name of Tina Arena's perfume?
Now, they cut out the joke I made, which is, is it true that it attracts school teachers? Right? Because
good
the French
joke. That's
the French president just married his school teacher.
Super stuff. Well,
I knew that because I'd seen Tina on the way in. And when the guests come on, you can tell how important they think they are by how many minders they have.
How many do you have?
Okay.
Just one bloke sort of hanging around. Okay. And he was holding a bottle. And I thought it was weird that there was a man at Channel 10 just standing around with a bottle of perfume.
And it said Renaissance.
And it said Renaissance on it. So then when I saw Channel, I sort of put two and two together. And I thought, okay, that's it. Because you're right. Normally, if you ask me what is the name of Gina Liano's fragrance... Yeah. I would say Botox.
Well, then, keeping in mind that the show is clearly edited, is that right?
Well, so what happens is you got to remember that we do the show as live, so it takes about an hour and 5 minutes, and it's got to get down to a certain amount of time for the TV, right? And what that means is that there's two lawyers that sit in a... This is true. I'll go behind the scenes a bit. There's two lawyers that sit in a booth, and they sit backstage at Channel 10, and they watch the show. And at the end of the show, Tom and the big producer, Michael from Working Dog, go up to the lawyers and say, okay, what's out? And they hold up a list of the things that we're not allowed to, that could be a bit troublesome if we make jokes about.
Anything about Boy George and the giant dildo? What was the ruling there?
Is that like James and the Giant Peach? Yes. Is that one of the lesser known Roald Dahl
books?
It'll
be like Kinky Boots. It'll be coming to QPAC in a few months.
Oh, hey, you are close, mate. You are close.
So with that in mind, did you know this, Ed Cavalier? Did you know this?
Checking the final leaderboard, our winner is Ed Cavalier.
Oh, you won.
You won it, mate. Did you know that?
You know what? That would be a good victory if it wasn't against... Marty and Sam, two of the least informed individuals the world has ever known. If it was a, you know what I mean?
It's like Mick Malloy, when he comes on, all he tries to do is spoil the show, doesn't he?
Oh, there's when Mick's on, we have three lawyers. Mick brings his own just to make life a bit easier.
2.5 million Australians struggle with asthma. That is 10% of the population. It is one thing that I do very, very well in my life. Probably every 2 to 3 years, I end up in hospital for about a week.
What, do you? Is that what happens?
I'm a chronic asthmatic. So April and September are problematic times for me.
April, poor thing.
So, which is now. Oh, so pollen. I swim a lot. Yeah, it's a change of season. So I swim a lot to try and keep my lungs expanding. But there is...
Swimming's good for
Yeah, really good. That's why Susie O'Neill, I think.
It wasn't Perko and asthmatic.
Yeah, Sam Riley was all these swimmers who took it up. Anyway, great new breakthrough, and it's come out in the paper today that the reason they've come up with a brand new medication, and it's the reason why young boys get asthma as children, but they grow out of it as adults, and that is testosterone.
What does it do? Does it have a way of...
Opening up your airwaves.
Opening your airwaves.
What, when you hit puberty?
Yep. They reckon that they've now discovered that young boys who've been asthmatics then grow out of it. And we did kind of a quick survey around the, you know, our peoples, Brendo.
Yeah, grew out of it. Got some chest hair. See you later, asthma.
Wow.
What a bonus.
That's fabulous.
Did you know that's what it was at the time before this research? You just went, oh, I've grown out of it. That's
no, great. I just thought I grew out of it. Grew out of it. Didn't know about that.
So what happens if I take testosterone?
You get a good looking beard going. That's what you get.
Do you want to give me chest hair?
Caitlin Bailey, this will be awesome.
Would my voice deepen?
Yeah, man.
Would I become aggressive?
This will be great.
I know, man. I would seriously, like, if it meant that I could breathe easy throughout the rest of my life,
Would you grow a beard if it meant you could breathe easy?
Is that what happens if you have testosterone? You're just taking the piss.
Why not? Of course it would, wouldn't it? Do things pop out?
You'd have to have a lot of it.
Would it mean I get bigger boobs?
I get smaller ones.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Really? But that would mean, wouldn't it mean I'd trimmed it? Like, wouldn't my shoulders broaden?
You'd get more muscle, which female bodybuilders, let's be honest, and there is a story about this in the paper today, actually. Female bodybuilders use testosterone because it cuts them up and it helps sort of fight fat in women when women do it. And it does allow them to have those, if you think that's a benefit, then those are the benefits.
You know, bikies are really muscly and I don't reckon they go to the gym all day. Do you reckon they take testosterone? None of them have got asthma. I'll never see them driving down the road
with their
puffer. Ventolin.
Hey, you know, Mitch is on from 9 o'clock here on Triple M. Saw him in the kitchen. He described Green Day last night at Boondall as one of the greatest concerts he has ever seen in his life. The energy, the vibe, everything about him. He went all the way to the end. Because as you know, Sam, our producer, he went as well. He pulled out early. And he was telling us, yes, it was a great concert, but he had to leave early because he's got to get up at 3:30. As he was walking out at Boondall there was a baby there. Now, Green Day are full of energy, full of noise, etc. That's when he and I started having a chat. about what I keep seeing at football stadiums is too many babies.
Hang on, what
like why would you take? All right, let's just say it. Why would you take your baby to a game of football, a big game of football, or Green Day concert?
I have a less problem about going to a big game of football because it's kind of a couple of hours. If it's on a Sunday afternoon, then that just becomes the outing. Who cares?
It's just offensive, all the noise and the drunks and the everything else at a game of football.
Okay, but at a concert, I don't get it unless it's a newborn. But then that would be awful for their ears.
No, he said little ones. So he reckons in three months.
Maybe they couldn't get babysitters.
Well, that might be it.
Yeah, it's always a thing. Like, we took our kid, man. We took them to their first gig at 6 months old, man. It was like.
Do you reckon?
Definitely.
I had this happen to me at Suncorp recently. Somebody had like a 3 or 4 month old baby and wanted a photo. I was walking after I'd finished work off the field. Wanted a quick photo with you, Marto. And it was with the baby, just to prove that the baby was had been to its first game of the Reds.
Oh. Well, see, I don't, that doesn't resonate so much, but I'm guessing if someone pulls out at the last minute, you've bought the tickets to Green Day, you don't have a babysitter, or you've spent your money on the tickets to Green Day and you can't afford a babysitter, that I get.
What are the people doing at the Gold Coast V8? It's a whole weekend thing with a pram.
Who's going to take a kid for a weekend?
Wow.
Mm, they do.
No.
No, no. Yeah,
who's going to babysit a kid for a weekend?
Oh, grandparents or something? Well, don't go. It's on television. So they buy these silly little earplugs for their kid. No one kid wants to wear earplugs.
But if they're not impacting you while you're there, are they?
No, not impacting me, but I worry.
Oh, okay.
I'm just going, concerned why? For the child's do they have welfare. To pay for a ticket?
No.
Are you sure?
Oh, good question.
Do they get in free?
Yeah. If they're not, you know, if they're not eating or drinking or anything or, you know, taking up a seat.
All right, can we just check where you've taken your baby? Because there's some stupid places that people seem to drag their kid along. Like, don't think you have to live life. At times you do, but there are times where you have to miss out on the state of origin that year. Where you're not taking your kid.
Where have you taken a baby or where have you seen a baby? Maybe you've been in the event you went, is that a baby or a very small child?
You know what I saw the other day?
Yeah, what'd you see?
All right, I was shopping at Woolies the other day at Audley. All right, at Coles at Audley. And there were 6 kids. This woman had 6 kids and brought them all to the supermarket to
sometimes
do her shopping.
Sometimes you don't have a choice. Well, who else is going to look after them?
Tie them up or something. But what? Don't. They were clogging up the aisle.
You are outrageous. What else are you going to do during the middle of the day? Of all course, right. If you're
they
a stay-at-home
mum.
They
were between 2
mom.
And about 8 and they were just grabbing. Like, it was like taking an octopus down this
aisle.
They were just
mate,
grabbing
it's
everybody.
It's not a thing you want to do. It's just sometimes you have to.
All right, I'll let you get away with that.
Where have you taken a baby or where have you seen a baby? Events, concerts, sporting, that type of thing. What happened?
Am I the only one shaking my head going, you don't need to have a baby at this
I don't
thing.
Know, Ed. Where are you on this?
I don't think you need to take a baby to a rock concert. I just think you're only doing it so you could say, man, when it was 2 months old, what's a baby getting out of it? And surely it can't be good for their ears. But I don't know. I'm about to have a baby. I wasn't planning on taking it to Megadeth, but maybe I will. Who knows?
Why not?
Cherie of Boondall, where have you taken a baby?
Yeah, hi, guys. I've taken my 5-month-old to the Hong Kong Rugby Sevens.
I've been there a couple of times. Now, it ain't no place for a 5-month-old. Would you agree now?
No, I tend to disagree. I think that if your baby is obviously with you and you can enjoy the experience during the day and it doesn't always have to be the ruckus that Hong Kong Sevens can be at night time, and you need to be well prepared and be available to make some adjustments.
So did you have a pram? Did you have him or her strapped to you?
Surely you didn't.
I took my baby carrier and my baby bag, and I was with my family at the time, so husband and mum and dad. But, you know, we planned our day around seeing some of the other part of the tournament, so the under-20 ladies and as well as the main games during the day. And Bubba had a sleep on me during the day and fed normally, and then at night time I'd head home and husband would stay on for the nightlife.
Okay. That works. Okay. I'm with you, Cherie.
That's
well done.
Bad.
The baby Bjorn gets a...
Okay. I haven't got a problem with that.
Okay. Malcolm of Kalanga.
How you going?
Yeah, good.
I'm going to get in trouble here, aren't I, Malcolm? Where did you take your baby?
Yeah, to the V8s last year, mate, at Ipswich.
How did that go?
Oh, awesome, mate. Just took her for a walk through pit lane while they were tuning the cars and put her to sleep in the pram and then sat at pit exit as they zoomed out and... She just slept beside us with our 2 boys who played in the tent. So.
Did you have headphones on her?
No.
Oh.
So one-year-olds don't mind the V8s is what you're saying, Malcolm?
Yeah, mate. Yeah, the power of the V8 puts them to sleep. So
you took all three kids to the V8s?
All three kids went the Friday, the Saturday and the Sunday. Stayed the whole day.
Yeah. Wow.
How old are the other two?
Well, they're 6 and 8 now. And we're going again this year. We've got tickets this year to go again. So, yeah, we love it.
I can't dispute that.
I'm superly impressed that you can take children that age and they will be entertained for a full day.
We love the cars. We take a packed lunch, take some toys, have a little pop-up tent that we put up. So if they need to have a sleep, they have a sleep. Or if they want to have a little play, they have a play. So it's all about being organised.
That might be something for you, Ed. Mal, that means your kids can sleep through any noise whatsoever, correct?
Pretty much.
A good kid to have.
Get used to it. That's interesting.
It'd be interesting for any child to have a V8 supercar as a lullaby.
Oh, can I have James Courtney tonight, Mum?
Hello. Who's this? Kingston of Babel?
Kirsten.
Kirsten. Sorry, I can't read. Sorry, Kirsten.
You're right. Good morning. Good morning, everyone.
Where'd you take a baby?
Oh, from the time my son was 2 weeks old, we took him to the Manly football oval to watch the Manly play every home game.
Brookie.
To Brookie.
Lotto Land.
Best family, well, not Lotto Land, Brookie Oval.
So how did your child, daughter, did you say it was? How'd they go, Manly, Manly? That's all. I've only been once and that's all I heard all day.
Yeah, noisy, but kids sleep through everything.
Okay.
And I'm learning something here.
I never took our kids to anything when they were that young, so it's only me. Sorry.
Okay, well, let's just keep
going. But what about all the yobbos at Brookie? Because there's beer-swilling yobbos.
Yobbos.
How dare you?
Oh, don't how dare me, mate. They were some of the worst I've ever seen in my life.
I've been to Brookvale, and they're not beer-swilling because they're already drunk before they get there.
Desley and Beerwa, where'd you take a baby?
Oh, hi. I actually don't agree with taking children to concerts. Their ears aren't developed. All V8 supercars, all the drag races. I've seen them at the drag races as well. Their ears aren't developed. They don't have a choice. They can't tell you that it's hurting their ears. Children are going to sleep when they need to sleep. But my son has taken his children to his own rock concert, and he plays heavy metal. And they didn't enjoy it at first. They were crying. And a bit of bopping around and going, don't cry. Well, of course, they're going to brighten up, aren't they? But that's not going to stop the damage that is being done to these children's ears that don't have a choice.
Okay, how did that go when you brought that up with your son?
I didn't. But the children haven't been back.
They haven't. Now they've got a chance. Okay, there we go.
They haven't been back. And, we have hearing loss in our family, and it's mainly due to loud music, loud noises, construction noises. It's natural. Adults lose their hearing.
Yeah.
Yep, it's true enough.
I'm going down that
Thank
track.
Thank you. Yep. Well, radio announcers are, certainly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What? Sorry.
Good stuff.